around. No, I can't believe anybody would be powerful enough to teleport an entire mountain range into a bowling alley. I agree. My theory is, those pins are just bowling pins. The giants couldn't bring a mountain range into a bowling alley, but they can send our bowling balls out of the alley. There's some kind of portal between the worlds right in the middle of our lane. It's hidden by illusions or whatever, but it's sending our bowling balls to New Hampshire. Alex stared at the end of the lane. Well, if that's the case, why did my ball come back in the ball return? I don't know. Maybe they loaded an identical ball into the ball return so you wouldn't notice. Alex gritted her teeth. Those cheating Maine fritters. What do we do about it? You know the White Mountains, I said. So do I. I want you to look down the lane and concentrate on seeing those mountains. If we both do it at the same time, we might be able to make the portal visible, and then, maybe, I can dispel it. You mean by changing our perception? Alex asked. Sort of like the mind healing you did with Amir? I guess. I wish I had more confidence in my own plan. The way Alex described it made me sound like a New Age guru. But look, it would work better if I held your hand. And I can't promise I won't, you know, sense stuff about your life. I could see her wavering, weighing the options. So I can either lose my head or have you in my head, she grumbled. Tough choice. She grabbed my hand. Let's do it. I studied the far end of the lane. I imagined a portal between us and the pins, a window looking out on the White Mountains. I remembered how excited I used to get on those weekend drives with my mom when she first spotted the mountains on the horizon. Look, Magnus, we're getting close. I drew on the power of Frey. Warmth radiated through me. My hand and Alex Fierro's began to steam. A brilliant gold light surrounded us both, like the midsummer sun burning away fog and destroying shadows. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw giants wincing and shielding their faces. Stop that! Tiny cried. You're blinding us! I stayed focused on the bowling pins. The light grew brighter. Random thoughts from Alex Fierro whisked through my mind. Her fatal fight with the wolves. A dark-haired man in tennis clothes towering over her, screaming that she should get out and stay out. A group of teenagers standing around 10-year-old Alex and kicking her. Calling her a freak as she curled into a ball, trying to protect herself, too panicked and terrified to shapeshift. Anger burned in my chest. I wasn't sure if it was my emotion or Alex's, but we'd both had enough of illusions and pretending. There, Alex said. In the middle of the lane, a shimmering rift appeared, like the ones Jack cut between the worlds. On the other side, in the distance, was the snow-marbled summit of Mount Washington. Then the portal burned away. The golden light faded around us, leaving a regular lane with bowling pins at the end, just as it had looked before. Alex pulled her hand away. She quickly wiped away a tear. Did we do it? I wasn't sure what to say.
Insignificant mortals! Utgard Loki interrupted. What was that? Do you always confer with each other by generating a blinding light?
Sorry, I yelled to the crowd. We're ready now. At least I hoped we were ready. Maybe we'd succeeded in burning away the illusion and closing the portal. Or maybe Utgard Loki was just allowing me to think I dispelled his trick. It could be an illusion within an illusion. I decided there was no point overtaxing my brain in the last few minutes it might be on my neck. I raised my bowling ball. I stepped to the foul line and rolled that stupid pink fuzzy dice ball straight down the middle. I have to tell you, the sound of the pins falling was the most beautiful thing I'd heard all day. Sorry, Prince, you were a close second. Blitzen screamed,
Strike!
Samir and Hearthstone hugged each other, which wasn't something either of them tended to do. Alex's eyes widened. It worked? It worked! I grinned at her. Now all you have to do is knock down all your pins and we tie. Do you have any shape-shifting form that could... Oh, don't worry. Her wicked smile was 100% from her mother, Loki. I've got it covered. She grew to immense size, her arms morphing into thick forelegs, her skin turning wrinkled gray, her nose elongating into a 20-foot trunk. Alex was now an African bush elephant. The one confused giant in the back of the room screamed, She's a cat! Alex picked up the bowling ball with her trunk. She stormed the foul line and hurled the ball, stomping with all her weight and shaking the entire alley. Not only did her bowling ball knock down the pins, the force of her stomping obliterated the pins in all 12 lanes, making Alex the first elephant in history, as far as I knew, to score a perfect 300, 12 strikes with only one throw. I may have jumped up and down and clapped like a 5-year-old girl who had just gotten a pony. What did I say about not judging? Sam, Hearth, and Blitz rushed us and tackled us in a big group hug while the crowd of giants looked on sourly. Herg and Blurg threw down their football helmets.
We can't beat that score, Herg wailed. Just take our heads.
The mortals are cheaters, Tiny complained. First they shrunk my bag and insulted Elvis. Now they've dishonored the turkey bowlers.
The giants began to advance on us.
Hold! Utgard Loki raised his arms. This is still my bowling alley, and these competitors have won. Squarely, if not fairly.
He turned to us.
The normal prize is yours. Would you like the severed heads of Herg and Blurg?
Alex and I looked at each other. We tacitly agreed that severed heads really wouldn't go with the decor in our hotel rooms. Utgard Loki, I said. All we want is the information you promised. The king faced the crowd. He spread his palms like, what you gonna do?
My friends, you must admit these mortals have spunk. As much as we tried to humiliate them, they humiliated us instead. And is there anything we mountain giants respect more than the ability to humiliate one's enemies?
The other giants murmured in reluctant agreement.
I wish to help them, Utgard Loki announced. I believe they have proven their worth. How much time will you give me?
I didn't quite understand the question, but the giants muttered among themselves. Tiny stepped forward.
I say 5 minutes. All in favor?
Aye, shouted the crowd.
Utgard Loki bowed.
More than fair. Come, my guests, let's talk outside.
As he steered us through the bar and out the front doors, I said, what happens after 5 minutes?
Hmm?
Utgard Loki smiled.
Oh, then my liegemen are free to chase you down and kill you. You did humiliate them, after all.
Chapter 43.
You keep using the word help. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Utgard Loki escorted us around the back of the bowling alley. He led us down an icy path into a wide expanse of forest while I peppered him with questions like, chase us? Kill us? What? He just patted me on the shoulder and chuckled as if we were sharing a joke.
You all did well, he said as we walked. Normally we have boring guests like Thor. I tell him, Thor, drink this mead. He just tries and tries. It doesn't even occur to him that the mead cup is connected to the ocean and he can't possibly drain it.
How do you connect the mead cup to the ocean? Sam asked. Wait, never mind. We have more important matters.
5 minutes?
I demanded again. The giant pounded me on the back like he was trying to dislodge something, perhaps my throat or my heart.
Ah, Magnus. I have to confess, when you threw that first frame, I got nervous. Then the second frame, well, sheer force never would have worked, but nice try. Alex, your ball almost reached the Taco Bell on I-93 south of Manchester.
Thanks, said Alex. That's what I was going for.
But then you two broke the illusion, Utgard Loki beamed. That was first-rate thinking, and of course, the elf's pinball skills, the dwarf's accessorizing, Sam hitting fear in the face with an axe. Well done all around. It's going to be an honor slaughtering the four of you at Ragnarok.
Blitzen snorted.
The feeling is mutual. Now I think you owe us some information.
Yes, of course.
Utgard Loki changed form. Suddenly, the goat killer stood before us in his black furs, soot-smeared chainmail, and iron helm, his face covered by a sneering wolf faceplate. Could you lose the mask, I asked, please? Utgard Loki flipped up his visor. Underneath, his face looked the same as before, his dark eyes gleaming murderously.
Tell me, my friends, have you figured out Loki's true goal?
Hearthstone crossed one palm over the other, made his hands into fists, then pulled them apart as if ripping a sheet. Destroy. Utgard Loki chuckled.
Even I understood that sign. Yes, my pinball wizard, Loki wants to destroy his enemies, but that is not his primary concern at the moment.
He turned to Sam and Alex.
You two are his children. Surely you know.
Samir and Alex exchanged an uncomfortable look. They had a silent, very sibling-like conversation. Do you know? No, I thought you knew. I don't know, I thought you knew.
He led you to the White Sparrow, Utgard Loki prompted. Despite my best efforts, you went there. And?
There was no hammer, Blitzen said. Just a sword. A sword I hate very much.
Exactly.
The giant waited for us to put the pieces together. I always hated it when teachers did that. I wanted to scream,
I don't like puzzles!
Nevertheless, I saw where he was going. The idea had been forming in my head for a long time, I guess, but my subconscious had been trying to suppress it. I remember my vision of Loki lying in his cave, tied to pillars of rock with the hardened guts of his own murdered children. I remember the serpent dripping poison in his face, and the way Loki had vowed, "Soon enough, Magnus." "Loki wants his freedom," I said. Utgard Loki threw back his head and laughed.
"We have a winner! Of course, Magnus Chase. That's what Loki has wanted for 1,000 years.
Samira raised her palm to push the thought away. "No, that can't happen."
"And yet," Utgard Loki said, "strapped to your back is the very weapon that could free him, the Skofnung sword."
My necklace started to choke me, the pendant tugging its way across my collarbone as if trying to get closer to Sam. Jack must have woken up when he heard, "Skofnung." I yanked him back, which probably made me look like I had a flea in my shirt. This has never been about Thor's hammer, I realized. Loki is after the sword.
Utgard Loki shrugged. "Well, the theft of the hammer was a good catalyst. I imagine Loki whispered in Thrym's ear, giving him the idea. After all, Thrym's grandfather once stole Thor's hammer and it didn't go so well. Thrym and his sister have been aching for revenge against the Thunder God their entire lives."
Thrym's grandfather? I remembered the wording on the wedding invitation. Thrym, son of Thrym, son of Thrym. Utgard Loki waved aside my question.
"You can ask Thor about it when you see him, which I'm sure will be very soon. The point is, Loki advised Thrym on the theft and set up a scenario in which a group of champions such as yourselves would have no choice but to try retrieving the hammer. And in the process, you might bring Loki what he really wants."
"Wait." Alex cupped her hands as if wrestling a lump of clay on the wheel. "We're bringing the sword to give to Thrym. How does that..." "The bride price." Sam suddenly looked sick. "Oh, I'm such a fool." Blitz scowled.
Granted, I'm a dwarf. I don't understand your patriarchal traditions. But isn't the bride price something you give to the groom?"
Sam shook her head. "I was so busy denying that this wedding would ever happen, pushing it out of my head, I didn't think about the old Norse wedding traditions."
"Which are also Jotun traditions," Utgard Loki agreed.
Hearthstone sniffed like he was dispelling something unpleasant from his nose. He spelled out, "M-U-N-D-R." "Yes, the Mundr," Sam said. "The old Norse term for bride price. It doesn't go to the groom, it goes to the father of the bride." We stopped in the middle of the woods. Behind us, Utgard Lanes was barely visible, its neon sign washing the trunks of the trees with red and gold light. "You mean all this time," I said, "with the Skofnung sword and the Skofnung stone, we've been running around collecting gifts for Loki?" The Giant King chuckled.
"It is pretty funny, except for the fact that Loki wants to get free so he can kill everyone."
Sam leaned against the nearest tree. "And the hammer, that's the morning gift?"
"Exactly," the giant agreed. "The Morgan Gifu."
Alex tilted her head. "The what, Tofu?" Hearthstone signed. "Gift to bride from groom. Only given after wedding is..." His fingers failed him. "Complete. Morning after." "I'm going to throw up," Samira said. I translated Hearth's words for Alex. "So the hammer goes to you," Alex pointed to Sam. "Hypothetically, if you were the bride, which you won't be, but only after the wedding night, and..." "Yeah, I'm going to be sick too."
"Oh, it gets worse," the giant said with a little too much glee. "The morning gift belongs to the bride, but it's held in trust by the groom's family. Therefore, even if you go through with the marriage and get Thor's hammer back..."
"It just stays with Thrym," I said. "The giants get a marriage alliance and the hammer." "And Loki gets the Skofnung sword." Sam swallowed hard. "No, this still doesn't make sense. Loki can't attend the wedding in the flesh. The best he can do is send a manifestation. His physical body will still be stuck in the cavern where he's imprisoned."
"Which is impossible to find," Blitzen said. "Impossible to access."
Utgard Loki gave us a twisted smile.
"Like the island of Lyngby?"
Unfortunately, Utgard Loki had a point, and that made me want to join Sam at the throw-up tree. Fenris Wolf's place of imprisonment was supposed to be a closely kept secret among the gods, but That hadn't stopped us from having a small convention there back in January.
And the sword, Blitzen continued. Why Skofnung? Why not Sumerbrander or some other magic weapon?
I'm not entirely sure, Utgard Loki admitted. Nor am I sure how Loki would get the sword to his true location or use it. But I've heard Loki's bonds are quite hard to break, being iron-hardened guts, strong, sticky, and corrosive. They will dull any sword, even the sharpest. You could perhaps cut one bond with Sumerbrander, but after that the blade would be useless.
Jack's pendant buzzed unhappily. Calm down, buddy, I thought. Nobody's going to make you cut iron-hardened guts.
Same with Skofnung, Blitzen cursed. Of course! The blade has a magical whetstone. It can be sharpened as many times as necessary. That's why Loki needed both sword and stone.
The giant king slow clapped.
Ah, with only a little help you put it together. Well done.
Blitz and Hearth glanced at each other like, now that we've put it together, can we please take it apart again? So we find another way to get the hammer, I said. The giant snickered.
Good luck. It's buried somewhere 8 miles under the earth, where even Thor can't reach it. The only way to retrieve it is to convince Thrym to do so.
Alex crossed her arms. I've heard a lot of bad news from you, Giant. I still haven't heard anything I would call helpful.
Knowledge is always helpful, Utgard Loki said. But as I see it, there are two options going forward to thwart Loki. First option, I kill you all and take the Skofnung sword, thus preventing it from falling into Loki's hands.
Sam's hand crept to her axe. I'm not liking option one. The giant shrugged.
Well, it's simple, effective, and relatively foolproof. It doesn't get you the hammer back, but as I said, I don't care about that. My main concern is keeping Loki in captivity. If he gets free, he starts Ragnarok right now, and I, for one, am not ready. We have ladies' night at the bowling alley on Friday. Doomsday would completely mess that up.
If you wanted to kill us, I said, you could have done it already. Utgard Loki grinned.
I know! I've been on pins and needles.
But, my tiny friends, there's a riskier option with a higher payoff. I was waiting to see if you were capable of pulling it off. After your performance in the contests, I think you are.
All those challenges, Sam said. You were testing us to see whether or not we were worth keeping alive?
Hearthstone made a few hand signs I decided not to translate, though the meaning seemed clear enough to Utgard Loki.
Now, pinball wizard. The giant said. No need to get testy. If I let you go, and if you can beat Loki at his own game, then I get the same rewards, plus the satisfaction of knowing the upstart god of mischief has been humiliated with my help. As I may have mentioned, we mountain giants love humiliating our enemies.
And for engineering that humiliation, Alex said, you gain respect from your followers.
Utgard Loki bowed modestly. Maybe in the process you get Thor's hammer back. Maybe you don't. I don't really care. In my opinion, Thor's hammer is nothing but an Asgardian boondoggle, and you can tell Thor I said so.
I wouldn't, I said, even if I knew what that meant.
Make me proud, Utgard Loki said. Find a way to change the rules of Loki's game, the way you did today at our feast. Surely you can come up with a plan.
That's option two? Alex demanded. Do it yourself? That's the extent of your help?
Utgard Loki clasped his hands to his chest.
I'm hurt. I've given you a lot. Besides, our 5 minutes is up.
A boom reverberated through the woods, the sound of barroom doors being thrown open, followed by the roar of infuriated giants.
Hurry along now, little ones, Utgard Loki urged. Go find Thor and tell him what you've learned. If my liegemen catch you, well, I'm afraid they are big fans of option one.
Chapter 44. We are honored with runes and coupons. I'd been chased by Valkyries. I'd been chased by elves with firearms. I'd been chased by dwarves with a tank. Now, lucky me, I got to be chased by giants with giant bowling balls. One of these days I would love to exit a world without being pursued by an angry mob.
Run! Blitz yelled, like this idea hadn't occurred to us.
The five of us raced through the woods, jumping over fallen trees and tangled roots. Behind us, the giants grew with every step. One moment they were 12 feet tall, the next they were 20 feet tall. I felt like I was being pursued by a tidal wave. Their shadows overtook us, and I realized there was no hope. Blitzen bought us a few seconds. With a curse, he tossed the bag empty leather behind us and yelled, "Password!" The mob of giants abruptly found their path blocked by the appearance of Mount Bowling Bag, but they quickly grew tall enough to step right over it. Soon we would be trampled. Even Jack couldn't help against so many. Hearthstone sprinted ahead, frantically gesturing, "Come on!" He pointed to a tree with slender branches, clusters of red berries just ripening in their green foliage. The ground beneath was strewn with white flower petals. The tree definitely stood out among the huge pines of Jotunheim, but I didn't understand why Hearth was so anxious to die in that particular location. Then the trunk of the tree opened like a door. A lady stepped out and called, "Here, my heroes." She had fine elfish features and long hair of red gold, rich and warm and lustrous. Her orange-red dress was clasped at the shoulder with a green and silver brooch. My first thought, it's a trap. My experience with Yggdrasil had given me a healthy fear of jumping through doorways and trees. Second thought, the lady looked like one of the dryad tree spirits my cousin Annabeth had described, though I didn't know what one would be doing in Jotunheim. Sam didn't hesitate. She sprinted after Hearthstone as the red-gold woman stretched out her hand and cried, "Hurry, hurry!" That also seemed like pretty obvious advice to me. The sky above turned midnight black. I glanced up and saw the yacht-sized sole of a giant's bowling shoe ready to stomp us flat. The red-gold lady pulled Hearth inside the tree. Sam leaped through next, followed by Alex. Blitz was struggling with his shorter stride, so I grabbed him and jumped. Just as the giant's boot came down, the world was snuffed out in absolute silent darkness. I blinked. I seemed to be not dead. Blitzen was struggling to get out from under my arm, so I deduced he wasn't dead either. Suddenly, I was blinded by a dazzling light. Blitz grunted in alarm. I got him to his feet as he scrambled to put on his pith helmet. Only when he was safely covered up did I scan our surroundings. We stood in a lavish room that was definitely not a bowling alley. Above us, a nine-sided glass pyramid let in the daylight. Floor-to-ceiling windows surrounded the chamber, giving us a penthouse-level view over the rooftops of Asgard. In the distance, I could make out Valhalla's main dome. Hammered from 100,000 gold shields, it looked like the shell of the world's fanciest armadillo. The chamber we were in seemed to be an interior atrium. Ringing the circumference were nine trees, each like the one we'd stepped through in Jotunheim. In the center, in front of a raised dais, a fire crackled cheerfully and smokelessly in the hearth. And on the dais was a chair elaborately carved from white wood. The woman with the red gold hair climbed the steps and seated herself on the throne. Like her hair, everything about her was graceful, flowing, and bright. The movement of her dress reminded me of a field of red poppies swaying in a warm summer breeze. "Welcome, heroes," said the goddess. Oh yeah, spoiler alert, by this point I was pretty sure she was a goddess. Hearthstone rushed forward. He knelt at the foot of the throne. I hadn't seen him so awestruck since, well, ever. Not even when he was facing Odin himself. He fingerspelled S-I-F. "Yes, my dear Hearthstone," said the goddess. "I am Siv." Blitz scrambled to Hearth's side and also knelt. I wasn't much of a kneeler, but I gave the lady a bow and managed not to fall over in the process. Alex and Sam just stood there, looking mildly disgruntled. "My lady," Sam said with obvious reluctance, "why have you brought us to Asgard?" Siv wrinkled her delicate nose. "Samira Alabas, the Valkyrie. And this one is Alex Fierro, the new Inherie." Even Officers Sunspot and Wildflower would have approved of her look of distaste. "I saved your lives. Is that not cause to be grateful?" Blitz cleared his throat. "My lady, Sam just meant..." "I can speak for myself," Sam said. "Yes, I appreciate the rescue, but it was awfully convenient timing. Have you been watching us?" The goddess's eyes flashed like coins underwater. "Of course I have been watching you, Samira. But obviously I couldn't retrieve you until you had the information to help my husband." I looked around. "Your husband is Thor?" I couldn't imagine the Thunder God living in a place so clean and pretty, with an unbroken glass ceiling and windows. Siv seemed so refined, so graceful, so unlikely to fart or belch in public. "Yes, Magnus Chase," Siv spread her arms. "Welcome to our home, Bielskirnir, the renowned palace Brightcrack." All around us, a heavenly chorus sang, "Oh!" then shut off as abruptly as it had begun. Blitzen helped Hearthstone to his feet. I didn't know godly etiquette, but I guessed once the heavenly chorus sounded, you were allowed to get up. "The largest mansion in Asgard," Blitzen marveled. "I have heard stories of this place. And such a fine name, Bielskirnir. Another chorus rang out. Bright crack? Alex didn't even wait for the angels to finish before asking. Do you live next door to Plumber's Crack? Steve frowned. I do not like this one. I may send it back to Jotunheim. Call me it again, Alex snarled. Just try. I put my arm in front of her like a guardrail, though I knew I was risking amputation by clay cutter. Steve, so maybe you could tell us why we're here? Steve's eyes settled on me. Yes, of course, son of Frey. I've always liked Frey. He's quite handsome. She fluffed her hair. Somehow I got the feeling that by handsome, Steve meant likely to make my husband jealous. As I said, she continued, I am Thor's wife. That's all most people know about me, sadly, but I am also a goddess of the earth. It was a simple matter for me to track your movements across the nine worlds whenever you pass through a forest or tread on living grass or moss. Moss, I said. Yes, my dear. There is even a moss called Sieve's Hair, named after my luxurious golden locks. She looked smug, though I wasn't sure I would be so excited about having a moss named after me. Harth pointed at the trees around the courtyard and signed R-O-W-A-N. Sieve brightened. You know much, Hearthstone. The Rowan is indeed my sacred tree. I can pass from one to another across the nine worlds, which is how I brought you to my palace. The Rowan is the source of so many blessings. Did you know my son Uller made the first bow and the first skis from Rowanwood? I was so proud. Oh yeah, I recalled a conversation I'd once had with a goat in Jotunheim. It's depressing I can even use that sentence. Otis mentioned something about Uller. I didn't know he was Thor's son. Steve put a finger to her lips. Actually, Uller is my son by my first husband. Thor is a little sensitive about that. This fact seemed to please her. But speaking of rowan trees, I have a gift for our elfish sorcerer. From the sleeves of her elegant dress, she brought out a leather pouch. Harth almost fell over. He made some wild hand gestures that didn't really mean anything, but seemed to convey the idea, gasp. Blitzen grabbed his arm to steady him. Is that a bag of runes, m'lady? Steve smiled. That's correct, my well-dressed dwarven friend. Runes written on wood carry a very different power than runes written on stone. They are full of life, full of suppleness. Their magic is softer and more malleable, and rowan is the best wood for runes. She beckoned Harth forward. She pressed the leather pouch into his trembling hands. You will need these in the struggle to come, she told him, but be warned. One rune is missing, just as with your other set. When any letter is absent, the entire language of magic is weakened. Someday, you will have to reclaim that symbol to reach your full potential. When you do, come see me again. I remembered the inheritance rune Hearthstone had left behind on his brother's cairn. If Steve could jump through trees and telepathically communicate with Moss, I didn't understand why she couldn't just hand Hearthstone a new Othala. Then again, I wasn't a graduate of rune magic with the Allfather, a weekend seminar. Hearthstone bowed his head in gratitude. He stepped away from the dais, cradling his new pouch of power like it was a swaddled baby. Sam shifted, gripping her axe. She eyed Steve as if the goddess might be Little Billy in disguise. Lady Steve, that's very kind. But you were going to tell us why you brought us here. To help my husband, Steve said. I assume you now have the information necessary to find and retrieve his hammer. I glanced at my friends, wondering if anyone had a diplomatic way of saying, sort of, kind of, not really. Steve sighed with the slightest hint of disdain. Oh, yes, I see. First, you want to discuss the matter of payment. I said, that wasn't really... Just a moment. Steve ran her fingers through her long hair like she was working a loom. Red-yellow strands fell into her lap and began weaving themselves into some sort of shape, like a 3D printer spitting out solid gold. I turned to Sam and whispered, Is she like Rapunzel? Sam arched her eyebrow. Where do you think that fairy tale came from? In moments, with no visible loss of integrity to Steve's hairdo, the goddess was holding a small golden trophy. She held it up proudly. You'll each get one of these. At the top of the trophy was a tiny golden replica of the hammer Mjolnir. On the pedestal at the bottom was engraved, Award of Valor for Retrieving Thor's Hammer. And in smaller letters I had to squint to read. Bearer is entitled to one free entree with purchase of an entree of equal value at participating Asgard restaurants. Blitzen made a squeak sound.
That's amazing! Such workmanship! How?
Steve smiled, obviously pleased. Well, since my original hair was replaced with solid gold magical hair after that horrible trick Loki played on me... Her smile soured as she glanced at Alex and Sam. One benefit is that I can weave my extra hair into any number of solid gold items. I am responsible for paying the house staff, including heroes such as yourselves, with tokens like this. Thor is so sweet. He appreciates my abilities so much he calls me his trophy wife. I blinked.
Wow.
I know, Steve actually blushed. At any rate, when your job is done, you'll each get a trophy. Blitzen reached longingly for the sample.
A free entree at any participating restaurant?
I was afraid he might weep for joy. Yes, dear, said the goddess. Now, how do you plan to retrieve the hammer?
Alex coughed. Actually...
Never mind, don't tell me. Steve raised her hand like she wanted to block out Alex's face. I prefer to leave details to the help.
The help? Alex said.
Yes. Now your first task will be tricky. Whatever news you have, you will need to deliver it to my husband. The elevator is just there. You'll find him in his... what does he call it? His man cave? Just be warned. He has been in a very bad mood.
Sam drummed her fingers on the head of her axe.
I don't suppose you could just give him a message for us.
Steve's smile hardened.
Why, no, I couldn't. Now run along, and try not to send Thor into a murderous rage. I don't have time to hire another group of heroes. Chapter 45. Pigtails have never looked so frightening.
Steve sucks, Alex muttered as soon as the elevator doors closed.
Maybe this isn't the time to say that, I suggested, when we're in her elevator.
If the legends are true, Blitz added, this mansion has over 600 floors. I'd rather not fall all the way to the basement.
Whatever, Alex grumbled. Also, what kind of name is Brightcrack? A 2-second chorus of heavenly bliss sounded from the overhead speakers.
It's a Kenning, Blitzen said. You know, like Blood River for the Skofnung sword guy. Brightcrack, oh, is just a poetic way of saying lightning, since Thor's the thunder god and all.
Humph, said Alex. There's nothing poetic about Brightcrack.
Oh!
Since getting his new rune bag, Hearthstone had been even more withdrawn than usual. He leaned in the corner of the elevator, tugging at the string on the leather pouch. I tried to get his attention to ask if he was okay, but he wouldn't meet my eyes. As for Sam, she kept running her fingertips down the edge of her axe as if she anticipated using it soon. You don't like Steve either, I noted. Sam shrugged. Why should I? She's a vain goddess. I don't often agree with my father's pranks, but cutting off Steve's original golden hair? That I understood. He was making a point. She cares about her appearance above everything else. The ability to weave things with her new precious metal hair, the whole thing about her being a trophy wife? I'm sure my dad planned that, too. It's his idea of a joke. Steve and Thor are just too dense to pick up on it. Hearthstone apparently caught that. He stuffed the rune bag into his pocket and signed, Steve is wise and good. Goddess of growing things. You, he pointed at Sam, then made two okay signs with his hands, flicking one across the other as if tearing a piece of paper, the sign for unfair. Hey, elf, Alex said. I'm guessing at your meaning, but if you're defending Steve, I gotta say I'm with Samira on this one. Thank you, said Sam. Hearthstone scowled and crossed his arms, the deaf equivalent of, I can't even talk to you right now. Blitz grunted. Well, I think you're nuts to be bad-mouthing Thor's wife in Thor's own house when we're about to see... Ding! The elevator door slid open. Holy man cave, I said. We stepped out of the elevator into a sort of garage area. Suspended on a hydraulic lift was Thor's chariot, the wheels off, and what looked like a broken transaxle hanging from the undercarriage. Lining a pegboard against one wall were dozens of wrenches, saws, screwdrivers, and rubber mallets. I briefly considered picking up one of the mallets and yelling, I found your hammer! But I thought the joke might not go over well. Past the garage area, the basement opened up into a full-fledged man cavern. Stalactites hung from the ceiling high above. filling the room with a Nidavellir-like glow. The back half of the cave was an IMAX theater with two full-size screens and a line of smaller plasma monitors across the bottom, so Thor could watch two feature films while keeping track of a dozen different sporting events. Because, you know, relaxing. The theater chairs were leather and fur recliners fitted with drink tables fashioned from moose antlers. To our left was a galley kitchen, 5 stainless steel Sub-Zero refrigerators, an oven, 3 microwaves, a row of high-end blenders, and a butchering station that was probably not his goat's favorite place. At the end of a short hallway, a stuffed ram's head pointed the way to the restrooms with a placard hanging from either horn. Valkyries to the right, berserkers to the left. The right half of the cavern was mostly arcade games, pretty much the last thing I wanted to see after Utgard Lanes. Fortunately, there was no bowling alley. Judging from the oversized table that took place of honor in the middle of the cave, Thor was more of an air hockey man. The place was so huge I didn't even see Thor until he marched out from behind the Dance Dance Revolution machine. He looked lost in thought, pacing and muttering while knocking 2 air hockey paddles together as if preparing to defibrillate someone's heart. Behind him trailed his goats, Otis and Marvin, but they weren't very nimble on their hooves. Every time Thor turned, he collided with them and had to shove them out of the way.
"Hammers," he was grumbling. "Stupid, stupid hammers! Hammers!"
Finally, he noticed us.
"Aha!"
He stormed over, his eyes bloodshot and furious, his face as red as his bushy beard. His battle armor consisted of a ragged Metallica t-shirt and gym shorts that showed off his pale, hairy legs. His bare feet were in dire need of a gentleman's pedicure. For some reason, his scraggly scarlet hair was in pigtails, but on Thor, the look was more terrifying than funny. It was almost as if he wanted us to know, "I can wear my hair like a 6-year-old girl and still murder you."
"What news?" he demanded.
"Hey, Thor," I said in a voice about as manly as his pigtails. Sumobrander has something to tell you." I pulled off my pendant and summoned Jack. Was it cowardly of me to hide behind a magical talking sword? I prefer to think of it as strategically wise. I wouldn't be able to do Thor any favors if he smashed my face in with an air hockey paddle.
"Hi, Thor," Jack glowed cheerfully. "Hi, goats."
"Ooh, air hockey."
"Sweet chill pad, Thunderman."
Thor scratched his beard with the paddle. The name of his son Modi was tattooed in blue across his knuckles. I really hope they didn't get a closer look at that name.
"Yes, yes, hello, Sumobrander," Thor grumbled. "But where is my hammer? Where is Mjolnir?"
"Oh." Jack glowed a darker shade of orange. He wasn't able to glare, but he definitely turned a sharp edge in my direction.
"So, good news on that front. We know who has the hammer, and we know where he is keeping it." "Excellent!"
Jack hovered back a few inches. "But there is some bad news." Otis sighed to his brother Marvin. "I have a feeling we're about to be killed."
"Stop that," Marvin snapped. "Don't give the boss ideas."
"The hammer was stolen by a giant named Thrym," Jack continued. "He buried it 8 miles under the earth."
"Not excellent!"
Thor smashed his air hockey paddles together. Thunder rolled through the room. Plasma screen TVs toppled. Microwaves flickered. The goats stumbled back and forth like they were on the deck of a ship.
"I hate Thrym," the god roared. "I hate Earth Giants."
"So do we," Jack agreed. "And here's Magnus to tell you about our brilliant plan to get the hammer back." Jack flew behind me and hovered there with great strategic wisdom. Otis and Marvin backed away from their master and hid behind the Dance Dance Revolution machine. At least Alex, Sam, Blitz, and Hearth didn't hide, but Alex gave me a look like, "Hey, he's your thunder god." So I told Thor the whole story, how we'd been tricked into going to the White's tomb for the Skofnung sword, then we'd rushed to Alfheim for the Skofnung stone. We'd climbed the Bifrost for a selfie with Heimdall, and we'd gone bowling for information with Utgard Loki. I explained about Thrym's demands for a marriage alliance with Loki. Every so often I had to pause so Thor could process the news by storming around, throwing power tools, and punching the walls. He needed a lot of processing time. When I was done, Thor announced his well-reasoned conclusion.
"We must kill them all!"
Blitz raised his hand. Mr. Thor? Even if we could get you close enough to Thrym, killing him wouldn't help. He's the only one who knows exactly where the hammer is."
"So we torture him for the information, and then kill him. Then I will retrieve the hammer myself."
Alex muttered, "Nice guy."
"Sir," Sam said, "even if we did that, and torture isn't very effective or, you know, ethical,
Even if Thrym told you exactly where the hammer was, how would you get it back from 8 miles under the earth?
I would break through the earth with my hammer!
We waited for Thor's mental gears to turn.
Oh, said the god. I see the problem. Curses! Follow me!
He marched into the garage, tossed aside his hockey paddles, and started rummaging through his tools.
There must be something in here that can drill through 8 miles of solid rock.
He considered a hand drill, a tape measure, a corkscrew, and the iron staff we'd almost died retrieving from Garrod's fortress. He threw them all to the floor.
Nothing, he said in disgust. Useless junk!
Perhaps you could use your head, Hearthstone signed. That is very hard.
Oh, don't try to console me, Mr. Elf, said Thor. It's hopeless, isn't it? You have to have hammers to get hammers, and this...
He picked up a rubber mallet and sighed.
This won't do. I'm ruined! All the giants will soon know I'm defenseless. They'll invade Midgard, destroy the television industry, and I will never be able to watch my shows again.
There might be a way to get the hammer. The words came out of my mouth before I considered what I was saying. Thor's eyes lit up.
You have a large bomb?
No. But Thrym is expecting to marry someone tomorrow, right? We can pretend to go along with it and...
Forget it, Thor growled. I know what you're going to suggest. There's no way. Thrym's grandfather humiliated me enough when he stole my hammer. I will not do that again.
Do what? I asked.
Wear a wedding dress, Thor said. Pretend to be the giant's bride Freya, who refused to marry Thrym. Selfish woman. I was disgraced, humiliated, and... What are you smirking about?
This last comment was directed at Alex, who quickly put on her serious face.
Nothing, she said. Just...
You in a wedding dress. Hovering behind my shoulder, Jack whispered, He looked amazing. Thor grunted.
It was all Loki's idea, of course. It worked. I infiltrated the wedding, got my hammer back, and killed the giants. Well, except for those little kids, Thrym the Third and Thringa. But when I got back to Asgard, Loki told the story so many times he made me a laughingstock. No one took me seriously for ages.
Thor frowned as if he'd just had a thought, which must have been a painful experience.
You know, I bet that was Loki's plan all along. I bet he arranged the theft and the solution to make me look bad.
That's terrible, Alex said. What was your bridal dress like?
Oh, it was white with a high lace appliqué neckline and these lovely scalloped...
Thor's beard sparked with electricity.
That's not important!
Anyway, I stepped in. This Thrym the Third or whatever, he's expecting you to try that trick again. He's got some kind of security precautions in place. No gods are getting through the front door unnoticed. We'll need a different bride.
Well, that's a relief, he grinned at Samira. And I do thank you for stepping up, girl. I'm glad you're not as selfish as Freya. I owe you a gift. I'll have Siv make you a trophy. Or perhaps you'd like a Hot Pocket. I have some in the freezer.
No, Lord Thor, Sam said. I'm not marrying a giant for you. Thor winked slyly.
Right. You're only pretending to marry him. Then once he brings out the hammer...
I'm not even pretending, Sam said.
I am, Alex said.
Chapter 46. Here comes the bride and or the assassin. Alex knew how to get our attention. Hearth and Blitz gawped at her. Jack gasped and glowed bright yellow. Thor's eyebrows furrowed, sparking like jumper cables. Even the goats trotted over to get a closer look at the crazy girl.
What?
Alex demanded. Sam and I discussed it. She vowed to Amir that she wouldn't even fake marry this giant, right? The charade doesn't bother me at all. I'll dress up, say the vows, kill my new husband, whatever. Sam and I are close to the same size. We're both children of Loki. She can pose as my maid of honor. It's her best option. I stared at Sam. That's what you and Alex have been talking about? Samira fingered the keys on her belt ring. Alex thinks she can resist Loki, unlike what happened to me in Provincetown. It was the first time she talked about the incident so openly. I remembered Loki snapping his fingers, Sam collapsing in a heap, all the air expelled from her lungs. Sam was a Valkyrie. She had the strongest willpower and discipline of anyone I knew, if she couldn't resist Loki's control.
Alex, are you sure?
I tried not to let doubt creep into my voice. I mean, have you ever tried to resist Loki before?
Alex's expression hardened. What is that supposed to mean? No, I said hastily. I just...
The larger point, Thor butted in, is that you're not even a proper girl. You're an Augur.
The air became still, like the moment before a thunderclap. I wasn't sure which possibility scared me more, Thor attacking Alex or Alex attacking Thor. The look in her eyes made me wonder if we shouldn't just put her on the borders of Jotunheim to scare away the giants rather than bothering with Thor and his hammer.
I'm a child of Loki, she said in an even tone. That's what Thrym is expecting. Like my parent, I'm gender fluid. And when I'm female, I am female. I can definitely pull off a lace appliqué wedding gown better than you.
Thor fumed. Well, there's no need to be mean about it.
Besides, Alex said, I will not let Loki control me. I never have, I never will. I also don't see anyone else volunteering for this suicidal bridal mission.
Suicidal bridal, Jack said. Hey, that rhymes.
Otis clopped forward and sighed. Well, if you need a volunteer to die, I suppose I can do it. I've always loved weddings.
Shut up, dummy, Marvin said. You're a goat.
Thor picked up his iron staff. He leaned against it thoughtfully, tapping his fingers and making different images flicker across the surface. A soccer match, the home shopping network, Gilligan's Island.
Well, he said at last, I still don't trust an Augur to do this job.
A gender-fluid person, Alex corrected.
A gender... whatever you said, Thor amended. But I suppose, respect-wise, you have the least to lose.
Alex bared her teeth.
I get now why Loki loves you so much.
Guys, I said, we have other problems to discuss, and not much time. Thrym is expecting his bride to arrive tomorrow. Alex folded her arms.
It's decided, then. I get to marry the big ugly guy.
Yes, you marry him, Hearthstone signed. Many happy years and fine children. Alex narrowed her eyes.
I can see I'm going to have to learn sign language. In the meantime, I will assume you said, yes, Alex. Thank you, Alex, for being so brave and heroic.
Close enough, Hearth signed. I still wasn't loving the idea of Alex as a decoy bride, but I figured I'd better move things along. Keeping this group focused was like driving a chariot with no goats and a broken transaxle. So anyway, I said, we have to assume we can't sneak Thor in with the wedding party.
And he can't simply bust into an Earth Giant's lair, Blitz added.
Thor harumphed.
I've tried, believe me. The stupid giants are buried too deep and rock too dense.
You're an expert on density, Alex guessed.
I gave her a shut-up look. So we have to use the front door. I'm guessing they won't tell us where that is until the last minute to avoid an ambush or unwelcome tag-alongs.
What does the invitation say? Sam asked.
I took it out and showed them. The time slot now read, tomorrow morning. The location slot still said, we'll get back to you. That's okay, I said. I think I may know where the entrance will appear. I explained to Thor about the photo of Bridal Veil Falls. The Thunder God did not look overjoyed.
So either you're wrong and this is a random photograph, or you're right and you're choosing to believe information from your treacherous uncle?
Well, yeah. But if it is the entrance...
I could scout it out, Thor said. I could have a team of gods in place, undercover, ready to follow the wedding party inside all stealthy-like.
A team of gods sounds excellent, I agreed.
Depending on the gods, Blitz murmured.
We also have some Inheriar standing by, Sam suggested. Good warriors. Trustworthy.
She said trustworthy like it was a word Thor might not have heard before.
Hmm. Thor twirled one of his pigtails. I suppose this could work. And once Thrym summons the hammer...
If he summons it, Alex said. He's using it as the, morning after gift.
Thor looked aghast.
Regardless, he must summon it for the ceremony. The bride has the right to insist. The symbol of my hammer is always used to bless a wedding. If Thrym has the real thing, he must use it if you request it. And once he does, we'll move in and kill everyone.
Except us, Hearthstone said.
Exactly, Mr. Elf. It will be a glorious bloodbath.
Lord Thor, Sam said, how will you know when the time is right to charge in?
That's easy.
He turned and patted Marvin's and Otis's heads.
You'll ride my chariot into the wedding hall. That's a common enough practice for lords and ladies. With a little concentration, I can see and hear what my goats see and hear.
Yes, Otis said. It gives me a tingling feeling right behind my eyeballs.
Be quiet, Marvin said.
Nobody wants to hear about your tingling eyeballs.
When the hammer appears, Thor grinned evilly, we move in. Gods and Inherjar, we slaughter the giants and all will be well. I feel better already.
Yay! Jack cheered, clinking against Thor's staff in a high five. Or a high, just one. Smear raised her index finger like, one moment. There's something else. Loki wants the Skofnung sword so he can cut himself free. How do we make sure he doesn't get it?
That will never happen, Thor said. Loki's place of punishment is in a completely different location, sealed long ago by the gods. Loki is bound even better than Fenris Wolf.
And we saw how well that worked out, Harth signed.
The elf speaks wisely, Thor agreed. There is nothing to worry about. Loki can't be at the wedding in the flesh. Even if Thrym gets hold of the Skofnung sword, he won't have time to find Loki or free him, not before we swoop in and kill the big oaf.
Thor swung his iron staff to demonstrate his ninja moves. His left pigtail came loose in the process, which only added to the intimidating effect. A cold feeling spread through my gut. I don't know about this plan. It still feels like we're missing something important.
My hammer, Thor said.
But we'll get that back soon enough.
Mr. Elf and Mr. Dwarf, why don't you go to Valhalla and alert the Inherjar?
Sir, we would. Blitz adjusted his pith helmet. But we're not technically allowed in Valhalla. Not being, you know, dead.
I can fix that.
Don't kill us, Blitz yelped.
Thor just rummaged around his work table until he found a 2x4 with a key attached to one end. Burned into the side of the plank were the words, Thor's Hall Pass.
This will get you into Valhalla, he promised. Just return it. I'm going to fix this chariot so our gender Argur bride can use it tomorrow. Then I'll gather my assault squad and scout out this location, Bridal Veil Falls.
And the rest of us? I asked reluctantly.
You and the 2 children of Loki will be our guests tonight, Thor announced. Go see Sieve upstairs and she will get you settled. In the morning, you will ride forth to a glorious matrimonial massacre.
Oh, Otis said with a sigh, I do love weddings.
Chapter 47. I prepare for Funky Town Combat. The night before a big massacre, you might think I would toss and turn. Nope, I slept like a rock giant. Sieve gave each of us a guest room in the upper levels of Bright Crack. I collapsed on my rowanwood bed with its sheets of woven gold and didn't stir until the next morning when I heard the alarm clock, a small gold Mjolnir trophy that wouldn't stop singing a divine chorus of "Ah, ah, ah," until I grabbed it off the nightstand and threw it against the wall. I have to admit, that was a satisfying way to wake up. I don't think Sam and Alex slept quite as well. When I met them in Sieve's atrium, they both looked bleary-eyed, and Alex's lap was a plate of what used to be donuts. She had broken them into pieces to make a frowny face. Her fingers were caked in powdered sugar. Sam held a cup of coffee to her lips as if she liked the smell but couldn't remember how to drink. The Skofnung sword was slung across her back. She looked up at me and asked, "Where?" At first, I didn't understand the question. Then I realized she was asking if I knew where we were going today. I fumbled through my pockets for the wedding invitation. The wind space now read, "Today, at 10 a.m., are you excited?" The where space read, "Proceed to the Taco Bell on I-93, south of Manchester, New Hampshire. Await further instructions. No ace here or the hammer gets it." I showed this to Alex and Sam.
"Taco Bell?" Alex grumbled. "Those monsters." "Something's not right." Sam took a sip of coffee. The cup trembled in her hands. "Magnus, all night I was thinking about what you said. We are missing something important, and I don't mean the hammer."
"Perhaps," said the voice of our hostess, "you're missing the appropriate clothes."
Before us stood Sieve, having appeared out of nowhere, as goddesses tend to do. She wore the same red-orange dress, the same green and silver brooch, and the same pained smile that said,
"I think you're my house servants, but I don't remember your names." "My husband tells me you want to play dress-up."
She gave Alex an up-and-down look.
"I suppose it will be easier than putting Thor in a wedding dress, but we have a lot of work to do. Come along."
She strolled toward a hallway at the back of the atrium, crooking a finger over her shoulder for Alex to follow.
"If I'm not back in an hour," Alex said, "it means I have strangled Sieve and am hiding the body."
Her expression gave absolutely no indication she was kidding. She sashayed off, doing such a good imitation of Sieve's walk that it would have given her a trophy. Sam rose. Coffee cup in hand, she walked to the nearest window. She stared across the rooftops of Asgard.
her eyes seemed to fix on the shield-thatched golden dome of Valhalla.
"Alex isn't ready," she said.
I joined her at the window. A wisp of dark hair had escaped the edge of her hijab by her left temple. I had a protective urge to tuck it back in. Since I valued my hand, I didn't.
"Do you think she's right?" I asked. "Can she, you know, resist your dad?"
"She thinks she's right," Sam said.
"She has some theory about claiming her own powers, not letting Loki possess her. She even volunteered to teach me. But I don't think she's ever tested herself against her father. Not really."
I thought about my conversation with Alex in the woods of Jotunheim, how confidently she had talked about using the image of the Urnis snakes for herself, stepping out of her parents' poisonous shadow. It was a nice idea. Unfortunately, I'd seen how easily Loki could manipulate people. I'd seen what he'd done to my Uncle Randolph. "At least we won't be alone," I gazed at Valhalla in the distance. For the first time, I felt a twinge of homesickness for the place. I hoped Blitz and Hearth had gotten there safely. I imagined them with the gang from Floor 19, preparing their weapons and suiting up in wedding attire for a daring raid that would save our butts. As for Thor, I didn't have much faith in him. But with luck, he and a bunch of other Aesir would be dug in around Bridal Veil Falls, dressed in camouflage with high-powered hand catapults or rocket spears or whatever other weapons god commandos were wielding these days. Sam shook her head.
"Help or no, Alex doesn't know what it was like in that White's tomb. She's not fully aware of what Loki is capable of, how easily he can just..."
She snapped her fingers. I wasn't sure what to say. "It's okay, you couldn't help it, didn't seem useful." Sam sipped her coffee.
"I should be the one in the wedding dress. I'm a Valkyrie. I have powers Alex doesn't have. I have more experience fighting.
You made a promise to Emir. You have lines you can't cross. That's not a weakness. It's one of your strengths." She studied my face, maybe judging how serious I was.
"Sometimes it doesn't feel like a strength."
"After what happened in that tomb in Provincetown," I said, "knowing what Loki could do and not knowing whether you can resist him, you're still going right back in to fight him. You ask me, that's way above Valhalla-level courage."
She set down her cup on the windowsill. "Thanks, Magnus. But today, if you have to choose... If Loki tries to use Alex and me as hostages, or...
Sam, no.
Whatever he is planning, Magnus, you have to stop him. If we're incapacitated, you may be the only one who can."
She shrugged off the Skofnung sword and handed it to me.
"Keep this. Don't let it out of your sight."
Even in the morning light of Asgard, in the warmth of Sive's atrium, the sword's leather sheath felt as cold as a freezer door. The Skofnung stone was now strapped to the pommel. When I slung the sword across my back, the stone dug against my shoulder blade. "Sam, it won't